Bronte Parsonage Museum is doing a podcast.
Yes, that's right. Get excited because our podcast Behind the Glass is going to be giving you exclusive access to our collection. Each week, a new guest will be bringing to life a Bronte object through conversation and creative writing.
We're your hosts, Sassy and Sam from the Bronte Parsonage Museum. And so today we are here to give you the 411 on the Brontes. Over the next few weeks, our podcast will explore our incredible collection. And in turn, we'll be delving into the lives and the works of the Bronte family.
But you do not have to be a Bronte aficionado to be listening into this.
Exactly. So we thought we'd give you a little who's who and what's what before you get obsessed with our podcast. This is going to be a little whistle-stop tour of the Brontes' lives. So strap in, listen tight, and away we go. Sam, where does the story start?
So the story begins in Ireland with Patrick Brunty or Prunty. He was sponsored by a tutor to come over to study at Cambridge, and he became a reverend, and eventually he found himself in Dewsbury.
Yes, so he's ended up in Yorkshire and he marries Maria Bramwell in 1812. They have one son and five daughters. So we have Maria, Elizabeth, Charlotte, Patrick, Emily and Anne. And the sisters were originally born in Thornton. The family then moves to Haworth Parsonage in 1820, the iconic parsonage which we are sitting in today.
So sadly, not long after they moved into the Bronte Parsonage, Maria Bronte died of cancer in 1821, and her sister, known as Aunt Branwell, or Elizabeth Branwell, moved in to help look after the children.
This is a very early experience of death, and as the children get older in 1824, Maria and Elizabeth attend Cowan Bridge School, and Charlotte and Emily then follow. However, things get worse for the Brontes. Both Maria and Elizabeth, the older sisters, get sick at school, and in 1825 they die of TB, tuberculosis. Patrick then removes Charlotte and Emily from the school. And now we kind of reach the point in the story with the setup that people know and really remember. So who do we have at the parsonage at this point in time, Sam?
Living at the parsonage, we had Charlotte Branwell, Emily and Anne, as well as their father and Aunt Branwell, who was here to help.
So over the time that they were at the parsonage, the Brontes also had lots of animals. There was animals running around.
They were everywhere.
And they had dogs, including Grasper, Keeper and Flossie during their time living here. They also had cats didn't they? And geese. And I mean, Emily had a Merlin hawk at one point.
Crazy. That she found on the moors.
So the parsonage over this time has had lots of inhabitants going through the doors.
A very important moment in their childhood was, of course, when Patrick gifted a set of toy soldiers to Branwell, which he then shared out with his sisters. And this was like a catalyst for the Bronte children. They would create their own stories around these toy soldiers and characters, creating worlds and fantasy lands, and most famously, the fantasy worlds of Glasstown, Angria and Gondel.
It really kickstarts their creativity here.
And an honourable mention to Tabby as well, the servant of the Brontes, who was a huge inspiration for them in terms of telling them lots of folk tales about the local area.
The next bit of the story isn't as exciting, I would say. It's kind of between 1831 and like 1845. The girls go through like different periods of like being in schools, teaching, governesses. Shout out Ellen Nussie, Charlotte Bronte's bestie. They made friends when they were at Roe Head School together, and they stayed in contact. And a lot of what we know about Charlotte Bronte is through their letters correspondence with Ellen Nussie. So the fact that they were best friends and they used to talk all the time is just such a brilliant insight. So not only was it nice that Charlotte had a friend, it's also great for us as curators and people that want to know about the Brontes' lives, the gossip.
She gave us quite an insight into Charlotte's life, and I think without her, we wouldn't know as much as we do.
In this time also, Charlotte and Emily go to Brussels. Yeah. So it's kind of like a big trip abroad that seemed to influence their creative writing, particularly Charlotte. Sadly, in 1842, Aunt Branwell dies and Charlotte and Emily return home. So we've lost a member of the household here.
It was also during this time in Brussels that Charlotte had experienced unrequited love with Monsieur Heger.
Yes.
At the Pensionnat Heger in Brussels. And of course, that ended up leading probably a big inspiration behind Jane Eyre and the character of Mr. Rochester.
So we've had like school, we've had teaching, we've had learning, we've had more death, we've had love. And finally, all the Brontes are kind of back in the parsonage.
They are.
The next few years are really crucial for the sisters, as this is where kind of their writing becomes their focus. Mm. All three sisters reach a point where they believe their creative work should be published. However, kind of due to the misogyny of the time, female writers were rarely taken seriously, so the sisters decide to publish under pseudonyms known as Currer, Ellis and Acton Bell.
In May 1846, poems by Currer, Ellis and Acton Bell are published. The first edition did not receive interest and sadly only sold two copies.
Oof.
In October 1847, Jane Eyre by Currer Bell is published. It is a massive success, so big success after the poetry incident. Following this, in December 1847, Agnes Grey by Acton Bell and Wuthering Heights by Ellis Bell were also published. So this is a really interesting point in the story as well, and one that I always think is very exciting is when Charlotte and Anne went down to London to reveal who they really were to their publishers.
The following year, The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, which is Anne's second novel, is published. But in the same year, we also have the death of Bramwell, age 31, in September, and the death of Emily, age 30, in December. This takes a massive toll on the family. And it's followed by...
In 1849, Anne Bronte dies in Scarborough.
Obviously, this is a very intense time for Charlotte. And despite this, in the 6th of October that same year, she publishes Shirley. And some say that the death of her family members is reflected in that novel.
After that, it's really interesting because we then see Charlotte starting to explore London more and making friends with people like William Makepeace Thackeray and Elizabeth Gaskell.
Charlotte gets famous.
Yeah, after that, it's really interesting because she's suddenly mixing in these very literary circles in London. And I think you could tell that she was always very intrigued by London because, again, it's often reflected in a lot of her written work.
In 1853, Charlotte's novel Villette is published. And then the following year, she marries Arthur Bell Nichols, her father's curate here in Haworth. Sadly, in 1855, Charlotte dies at the age 38 in early stages of pregnancy. And it leaves Patrick behind. He's the one that's outlived them all, the father, the only one left here.
Patrick approached Elizabeth Gaskell to write the biography of Charlotte.
Elizabeth Gaskell was like a prominent writer at the time, wrote North and South, Mary Barton, based in Manchester in the North, and had a good friendship with Charlotte.
Yeah, she came and stayed here at the parsonage a couple of times, and she writes about that in her book, The Life of Charlotte Bronte.
Yeah. We reach kind of 1857 and Charlotte's The Professor, which was originally unpublished, is published posthumously.
Yeah, which is sad because it was one that she always wanted to get published and she really kept pushing for it, but it was never accepted.
And then in 1861, Patrick Bronte dies at Haworth at age 84. So that's the timeline of the Brontes, but it doesn't really stop there, does it?
Not at all.
So what's really interesting is that kind of the Brontes are so famous. I mean, Charlotte felt her fame and people were wanting kind of her to be in these circles, these creative circles. But after her death, people wanted a scrap of the Brontes. So items were kind of distributed out. People were buying signatures of them. They were buying all their objects and
lots
their personal belongings, locks of hair. The collection that we have today did not stay here. When the Brontes died, it's kind of gone all across the world and people want a piece of the Brontes, don't they?
Yeah. So what happened was there was a big auction after Patrick died and we have a copy of the auction catalogue. So we know exactly what was sold in that auction and that's helped to verify a lot of the items that have come back. We've also got the Bronte Society forming.
Yeah.
Which was in 1893.
The Bronte Society goes on to purchase the Haworth Parsonage, which is the place that the Brontes lived and wrote their novels. So in 1928, they opened its doors to visitors and was the Bronte Parsonage Museum that we know and love today.
And there is an amazing photo of that day as well, where there are crowds of people going down Main Street.
The Brontes have a legacy in kind of like British literature that leads us up to this very point. Jane Eyre and Wuthering Heights have been taught on English syllabuses through time. I studied it. My mum studied it.
I studied it.
Exactly. And you're listening, you're probably thinking, I studied it as well.
Or I'm currently studying
it. Yeah. And Bronte is sometimes forgotten, and Tennant of Wildfell Hall and Agnes Grey are potentially left behind in our like modern day iconography of the Brontes. But what we do have is adaptations upon adaptations.
Oh, loads. Starting from, I think, since cinema began, basically, there are silent movies, there's the big famous ones from the 30s, the golden age of Hollywood, like Wuthering Heights with Laurence Olivier and Jane Eyre with Joan Fontaine.
Their stories are exciting, they're brilliant to read and to look at in new lights and to kind of interpret from the 21st century. I think that's why they're always revisited. So if you're listening right now and you think the Brontes are boring, we're going to change that for you.
Absolutely. Should we mention Kate Bush?
No, we don't need to mention Kate Bush.
I always like to mention Kate Bush.
I know. Okay, if you haven't heard Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush, the first thing you need to do is go on and search it on Spotify. Leave the podcast right now. Yeah. Go and listen to that song and then come back and listen to episode one.
I think that's a great idea.
That's a whistle-stop tour of the Brontes' lives and works.
Yeah, I think we managed to get a little bit of everything in there.
Buckle in, because the podcast is about to explore our fantastic collection that we've just mentioned. Objects that are so varied and exciting.
Yeah, enjoy.